Tim Hortons, call them and get completely new directions. How do we get there from here? Because we can't find our way. I've come to the conclusion driving in Winnipeg is not for the faint of heart. Now, there's a reason I tell this story this morning. Last week, Pastor Jonathan began a new sermon series digging into the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is the biblical book of wisdom, a collection of sayings that demonstrate how God's people can live their lives in the wisest, best way. Last week, we began with Pastor Jonathan showing us the two invitations we are given in life, one from wisdom and one from folly. We saw the consequences that come with accepting either invitation and how it is the fear of the Lord that makes the difference. This morning, we want to move on to our next proverb. In fact, what I want to highlight this morning is probably the most famous proverb in the entire book. I probably don't even have to recite the whole thing for you to know which one I mean. All I have to say is, train up. And you know which one I mean. You can probably finish it on your own. Anyone? Train up. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22, verse 6. You can turn there now. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It's a beautiful saying, isn't it? I mean, how many times have we heard it spoken in church? We hear it every single time we have a child dedication. The parents stand up here where they're with their small infants, hoping beyond hope they'll be quiet long enough for the pastor to recite this verse. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. On one hand, it is a challenge to the parents to invest in their children, guide them, shape them, lead them toward the Lord, to love Jesus, serve Jesus, put your faith and your life in Jesus. And on the other hand, it is spoken as a promise. If you will invest in your child, if you are faithful and teach your children to love the Lord, those children will indeed give their lives to Christ. They will lead God-honoring lives. They will bring glory to the Lord. And really, what more can a parent ask for? 3 John says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. And amen to that. It's a wonderful idea. And it would be even better if it really were a guarantee. Unfortunately, many of us know from experience that it simply isn't that easy. Is there anyone sitting in this church this morning who hasn't felt that sting of seeing someone you know, whether it's a friend, a family member, someone you are close to, someone you care about, who has walked away from the faith? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything like that, but I would be very surprised indeed if there was anyone here this morning who didn't have a name pop into their head just now. I have a couple myself. Friends that I grew up with in the church. Friends that I shared deep spiritual experiences with. One that I went to Bible school with. These were friends who went to the same church that I did, sang the same songs, attended the same youth group, listened to the same sermons, had God-fearing parents just like mine. They were involved in church, served in different capacities. They were making a difference for the kingdom. They were people who knew the truth. They talked the talk, they walked the walk. and today they don't want anything to do with it. Their faith is a part of their past and a part that they would much rather forget. For some of them, it was a harsh experience that shook their faith. For others, it was a gradual slide towards the ways of the world. In the end, how they got there doesn't really matter. They are former Christians who no longer bear the name of Christ, and that is a painful thing to see. And it begs the question, how can we read a proverb like this in light of that harsh reality? Scripture itself is saying that if we raise our children to love the Lord, they'll stick to it throughout their life. They won't turn away. But what if they do? What if they don't stick to it? What if they do walk away from their faith? What does that mean? Does it mean that their parents didn't do the right job? Their parents didn't do their job? How can parents of a wayward child not come to that conclusion? How can they not feel that guilt as if they have failed their child? Because really, that's what it sounds like, isn't it? Like this proverb is putting all the responsibility of the child's decision on the parents. Oh, your child went astray? Well, clearly you didn't train them up properly. Otherwise, they wouldn't have turned from it, even in old age. That's what it sounds like. And that's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, not only do these parents have to carry the burden of watching their own children walk down a path of destruction, now they're being told it's because you didn't do enough. How is that right? How does that resolve the situation? God can't really think that way, can he? Fortunately for us this morning, there's more going on here than a simple reading will tell us. It's easy for us to read this proverb as a promise that doesn't always bear itself out and then blames us for it. But I can assure you, that's not what's going on here. There's another layer to this proverb that we have to keep in mind. Another layer that reveals itself when we remember one of my favorite words, context. We need to know what the context of this proverb actually is. And that might seem like an odd thing when you're looking at proverbs, because proverbs, by definition, are general sayings with no real context behind them. They're meant to be spoken by anyone, to anyone, in any situation. They are words of wisdom. And while that's true, there are still two things we need to take into account regarding this proverb if we really want to see what it's saying. The first thing we need to look at is the wording. Specifically, the phrase, train up a child in the way he should go. What does that mean? What is the way he should go? Our first thought is to think it means train up a child to love the Lord and serve him, right? That is the way that he should go. And that's true. That is definitely one of the responsibilities of Christian parents. However, if we look at different translations, there's another idea that comes across. If you look, for instance, at the International Standard Version, you read, train a child in the way appropriate for him. Other translations say, train up a child according to his way. And the his does not refer to God, but to the child. Train up a child according to the child's way. That means this proverb is calling parents to teach their child in the way their child learns best. Does your child learn best from reading? Give them books. Do they learn best from doing things with their hands? Give them projects to work on. Do they learn best from one-on-one discussions, conversations? Sit down and talk with them. Know your child. Invest your child. Be a part of their lives. That way, you can teach them what they need to know in the way that they best receive it. Because those are the things that will stick with your child throughout their life. Now, that's all fine and good. That's a fine point. And we as parents can take that with us. We can apply that. But it's still no help to those parents whose children have turned aside from the faith. Once again, that's just putting more guilt on them for not parenting in the proper way. It still blames the parents who want nothing more than to see their children serving the Lord. And that's where the second part of the context comes in. We need to stop here for a second, and we need to go back to the beginning, quite literally. We need to go back to the beginning of the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 1. Please turn with me there now. At the beginning of Proverbs, we're given an introduction that tells us flat out what the book of Proverbs is all about, what its purpose is. So please follow along as we read, beginning at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. That far. The word of the Lord. But did you catch that right at the end of verse 4? These proverbs are for gaining wisdom and developing discipline, wise behavior, and for giving knowledge and discretion to who? To the young. That's who these proverbs are written for. Not for the elderly who have lived their life and learned, gathered this wisdom most often the hard way. The wisdom held in the book of Proverbs is for the young. It's for the youth, the child, the teenager, the young adult. They're the ones who need to learn this. They're the ones who need to receive this truth. And that makes a difference in how we read it. Think about it. We read this proverb, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. We read that as a command to the parents. And it is. But it's not just that. This is also a call to the children. This is a call to those children who have gone astray. Those children who, like the prodigal son, have left their father's home and gone off to forge their own path. Because where do those paths ultimately lead? To destruction. When we abandon God's ways, when we walk away from the truth just so we can do our own thing, there is no other end but destruction. It may not come swiftly, but it will come. There is no escaping the consequences of our bad decisions. And when those consequences do come, when we reap the results of our rebellion, where do our minds go? Just like Proverbs suggests, our minds go back to what we have been taught as children, the truths that remain with us. Why am I facing this destruction? Why has everything fallen apart around me? Mom and Dad used to tell me that it's because you walk away from God. I've abandoned the truth, just like they said, and things have fallen apart, just like they said. And I need to find my way back. That's what this proverb is trying to show us, that we need to give our children a solid understanding of who God is, even if they're not going to hold on to it right now. Because the fact is, no matter how much a parent loves their child, no matter how much time and effort they invest in teaching and shaping and guiding their child toward that narrow gate that leads to salvation, ultimately, that child has to make their own decisions. And yes, sometimes that decision is a foolish one. Sometimes that child chooses to run after destruction instead of the truth. And that is a heart-rending moment for the parents. But if those parents have heeded this proverb, heeded this call, and planted the truth inside this child, guess what? That truth will go with them even down the wrong path. It might just be a memory lingering in the back of their mind, a reflex to pause and pray before a meal or before they go to bed. Maybe it's a Bible verse that they can never really forget. Whatever it is, God can use that. He's worked with less. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say that that's a promise. I can't guarantee that every child will find their way back before the end. I really wish I could. But once again, everyone is responsible for their own decisions. I can, however, stand up here and say that any parent who has taught their child that there is a God who made them, a God who loves them, and a Savior who has redeemed them, has given that child hope. And that is a hope that will stand until their story is over. I started this sermon talking about the first time I drove in Winnipeg. It was a journey fraught with peril and bad decisions that led us astray. We got away from the path we were supposed to be on. We tried to fix it ourselves and only ended up further from our destination than ever. We ignored the directions and just got more and more lost. And it wasn't until we stopped and called out to our friends who we knew could tell us the way that we were able to get where we needed to go. We needed to go back to the source and find the way. And that's what this proverb is talking about. On one hand, it is a challenge to parents everywhere to give their child the truth. Speak it in whatever way your child can best hear it. Speak it, write it, sing it, whatever it takes. Plant that truth in their hearts while you got them. Because there may come a day when they're as far from God as they could possibly be, having made one bad decision after another, and you don't know the effect that truth can have on them when they need it most. When they are in that dark corner and don't know where to go, God can use that tiny truth in their hearts to shine a light on the way back. I want to say that this morning as a word of hope to all the parents here this morning. And I also want to say a word if there are any wayward child here with us who have wandered in here for one reason or another. I want to challenge you. You need to remember the truth. You need to remember that God made you, God loves you, and Jesus died to fix things between you and Him. There is nothing standing between you and God this morning. You can find your way back. You just need to remember the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in awe of you, that you are a father who patiently waits for his children to come back to him. You eagerly wait for us to realize we have gone astray. You tap us on the shoulder, you prod our hearts, you speak to us and constantly call us back to you. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Call us back to you once again. Show us the way back. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.